Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Is America getting too high on marijuana? Good question that we want to ask Dr. Tom DeLow, a retired health researcher for the Department of Health and Human Services, which is, of course, a department of the United States government. Are we getting too high on marijuana? Right now, the situation seems to be a great deal of interest, and several states have actually adopted a policy of permitting limited use of marijuana. Where do we stand, Tom?
Well, first of all, Jerry, good afternoon, and thanks very much for having me on the program. I really appreciate it. You're absolutely right. The United States is experiencing a real explosion in terms of the legalization of marijuana. In the last 20 years or so, lots of states, specifically 24 of them, have adopted marijuana, both medicinally and legalized it also for limited use. Four additional states have legalized marijuana for not only use, but also for legalized sales. Those four states, of course, are Washington, Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska. So we've got, in the last 20 years, an explosion of states that have legalized marijuana in one way, shape, or form. In addition, the United States population has turned around in the last 20 years, too. Now more than 50% of the population approves some form of legalization. So it has been revolutionary in terms of a change in cultural attitudes towards marijuana.
I should say, then, that you and I are not here today to argue a position, which I don't mind at all. Many of our programs are that. But the fact is that you spent a good deal of your career with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services simply reading every bit of literature, medical and otherwise, that was to be obtained. And that's what makes, to me, your position here so fascinating. You can tell us about what pretty well what we know, what we really know at the moment. It's up to date. Starting with teen use, is it extensive? How harmful? Let's take teen by what, 13, 12? What do we know?
Well, I think that's a good place to start, Jerry, because teen use is one of the areas that is most concerning about marijuana use. Presently, and this comes from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. That's an agency within the federal government who does yearly surveys in the schools of teen use around marijuana. So from those yearly surveys that are done, we know quite a bit about marijuana use among 12 to 18-year-olds. And what we do know is that about 7% nationally of teens have used marijuana in the last 30 days. Now, that doesn't mean that those 7% of the students that are using every day. In fact, a lot of them aren't. But we do have a core of students that are using every day, and those are the students that I think we need to be most concerned about. If you're using as a student and as a young person, as a teen, if you're using marijuana daily, you've got a 1 in 6 chance of becoming addicted to the drug. Further, if you're using more than once a day, you've got about a third of a chance of being addicted to the drug. And by addiction, what I mean is that you're psychologically and physiologically crave the drug, mm-hmm. and you will have withdrawal symptoms if mm-hmm. you if you try to get off the substance. So it's something that is very concerning. In terms of the harm that it does to teens and why I thought that was a good place to start.
Yes.
Teen brains are developing, as we all know, and the typical brain will continue to develop to about age 25. And so, therefore, marijuana use does affect brain development in significant ways. It affects the area of the brain that deals with memory, concentration, coordination, recall, and also perception. And so those are the areas of the brain where people learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the learning
just when you need it most, too, Tom, right? Right?
Exactly.
When you're absorbing the education you'll need for the rest of your life.
That's exactly right. And if, in fact, that part of the brain is going to be diminished during those early years, that is very harmful to these individual development. There was a recent study done by Mayer and her colleagues in Australia. There were about 2,000 people that they looked at from birth up until age 38. But they tested people at age 13, at 18, in their 20s, and right up until 38, every 5 years. And they looked at mental acumen, and they looked at IQ. And what they found was that high users of marijuana lost about 10 points in their IQ from the age of about 13 to about the age of 38. Now, 10 points when the average is about 100 to 105,
right,
and now you're going into the low 90s,
oh my gosh,
that's not too good.
No.
And as a society, obviously, we're trying to develop the intellect of our society. We're not trying to diminish it.
No.
And so, obviously, teen use becomes something that's very concerning.
In addition to addiction, the effects, Tom, does the use of marijuana in this population automatically or probably lead to the harder stuff?
You know, in the about 30 or 40 years ago, for your older listeners,
right,
you may remember some things like reefer madness and some of the preventive messages that were out there that basically said, if you start with marijuana, you're automatically going to heroin and some of the harder drugs. But basically, we've found since then that that, in fact, isn't true. We do have people, obviously, that do move on to harder drugs. But those individuals have some very unique risk factors that not all people have. And those risk factors may be that you live in a very high crime neighborhood with a proliferation of drugs. It may be that your family situation or your own individual situation would make you prone to move on to those kinds of stronger drugs. But for the average individual, that doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily the case that if you start with marijuana that you're going to move on to more addictive or more stronger drugs.
I forgot to ask in the beginning what may be the most important question in some ways. Why do people do this? What does it enhance? Perception, color, alertness? What's the feeling that one gets?
Good question, Jerry. Researchers and drug preventionists and others have been trying to analyze this whole thing for a long time because obviously we don't want kids to start this drug. But the drug itself is made from the cannabis plant. There's a chemical that I'm not going to use the full name, but its acronym is THC. And THC is the drug that provides the high effect that one gets when they smoke marijuana. And when you smoke marijuana, you're going to have some differences in perception, some differences in appetite. Your perception of time becomes different. Your memory may be affected, and also you may get some paranoia and that kind of thing. But lots of times why young people start this drug is peer pressure. And if their friends are smoking, that kind of draw can be very strong at that age.
Mm.
And so even if the effects don't elicit positive responses from the kids, they may still want to partake because their friends are.
The one thing that we can notice if our kids are smoking is probably their eyes.
Yes, or you get a glaze.
Is there something else? The glaze of the eyes. Yes.
Yes, you get usually a moderate to heavy user mm-hmm. will get a glazed over look in their pupils, mm-hmm. and you can tell lots of times from that.
Be alert to that. Makes a difference if the dosage that's taken that is smoked or ingested at any given time?
The idea of addiction, and when I said that one in six teens can become addicted, that's the overall statistic, and that is the correct statistic. But, of course, it does vary by the frequency of use, the dosage, the age of the individual, and also their weight and some of their own characteristics. Mm-hmm. So while the general addiction rate for teens is one in six, that can vary from individual to individual.
We're talking to Dr. Tom DeLow, who is a retired health researcher of the Department of Health and Human Services for the federal government, who has spent a good deal of his pre-retirement years researching all there is written, both psychologically and physiologically, from the various communities to tell us about the effects of marijuana, because suddenly it's become a major issue in American society. Tom, I want to move on now from the teens to those who are 25 and adults. What do we know about them?
Well, what we know about people that are 25 and older and their use of marijuana is that that age group is one of the age groups that uses the drug the least. Only about 5% of the population, maybe 1 in 20 of older adults, actually use marijuana on a daily basis, that is, maybe in the last 30 days in the surveys that we find. And what we know from that group is that about 1 in 9 adults is addicted to marijuana. So it's about 11% of the population. And they use pretty much on a daily basis. Having said that, 102 million Americans have tried marijuana in their lifetimes and have moved on to very productive and non-addictive lives. So while many have tried marijuana, most, and that is the vast majority of the people that have tried it, have moved on, and it was just a one-off to them.
102 million people, we only are, a population of 300 million right now? That means
exactly.
No wonder people are interested in this subject and things are changing.
Exactly.
If one out of three have actually tried it at one time or not.
Right, and in fact, one out of three of us have tried marijuana in our lifetimes. Unfortunately, the research in marijuana needs to be much more extensive. Mm-hmm. But generally, I think what we can say with some degree of accuracy is that an adult whose brain has developed and is using on an infrequent basis, there's probably not a great deal of risk in terms of usage. I don't mean to demean that, because obviously if you're a tobacco user and you're an infrequent user, there is a degree of risk, not as much as a heavy smoker. It's the same way with some degree of risk, even in limited use of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, I think you can put limited use of marijuana in that same category as limited use of alcohol or tobacco.
When I was younger, when I could say we were younger, we're both now retired, we used to hear that if you start on marijuana, it's going to lead to absolute use of the very hard stuff, coke and heroin. We covered that one, so that was most interesting. But now the other one I heard as a younger person, was that if we did actually approve as a society of marijuana use, we would reduce our prison populations, which is the other side, in a sense, of that argument. What do we know about that?
A lot of the advocates who are for the legalization of marijuana have indicated that that the prison population will be decreased significantly if, in fact, we approve the possession of marijuana. This is a difficult one to answer because we don't have statistics. The uniform crime reports that the FBI put out don't segregate simple possession of small amounts of marijuana as a crime. So oftentimes what happens is you're picked up for a DUI, you've got a possession of marijuana, you may have resisted arrest. And so all those three crimes sent you to prison. Well, would you have gone to prison for simple possession? Maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
The best statistic I've seen, Jerry, is that our prison population is about 2.5 million. And one of the estimates is that about 1% are there for possession of small amounts of marijuana, which would make for about 25,000 people. Just from my own research, that sounds logical. But I can't point to any particular document that actually states that. It's an estimate.
Do we know? This is a personal thing. Is it declining? Because, you know, when I first started in this business of radio interviewing, they were still picking up, usually by some surreptitious manner, they were picking up college students who were in possession of marijuana. And you wonder now if that's declining, is also that part of the population? Do we know that?
Well, I think what we do know is the 22 states now still say that marijuana is illegal, but the vast majority are now saying that possession of small amounts of marijuana, they're not going to do anything about it.
Okay.
It's essentially legal. So I think for the most part, if you had to say, is it declining, just from that fact alone,
you would have to say it would be. You'd hate to see people go to prison for a small amount of marijuana in their possession, you would think. But then there are other factors, and we really don't have all of the hard evidence as yet.
Right.
What else is involved in those crimes?
That's exactly right.
My last question, Tom, is among the largest of all, we get a lot of people very much in favor of medical use of marijuana, and some skepticism. Let's not generalize, but rather see what we can say as much as possible about specifics.
Okay. Well, obviously, you're absolutely right. One of the biggest draws to marijuana at this point and legalizing it is the medicinal aspect of it. And many of the advocates say that medical marijuana is the new breakthrough drug. I think we ought to preface that before we get into the specifics by saying that from the research that's been done so far, what we found is that we don't have any major breakthroughs in terms of medical marijuana curing HIV, a new cure for cancer, or anything like that. But what we do have is a drug that seems to have, in some limited cases, in some sort of symptoms of chronic diseases, we do have a drug that can be beneficial to some patients under certain conditions. Some examples of that would be cancer patients where their appetite may be stimulated, where they've got decreased pain. HIV patients have had the same kinds of effects from marijuana as those cancer patients. PTSD, we've had a lot of success with medicinal marijuana to help those with PTSD get better night's sleep, to deal with their mental conditions. With multiple sclerosis, there's also been some benefit in terms of better posture, improved spasticity, those kinds of things. So in those certain limited conditions, you can have some beneficial effects. However, it's not as much as the advocates might have you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there can be some harmful effects in terms of the use of marijuana. And so you've got some things where heavy use is going to possibly bring testicular cancer to you. In terms of some of the cancer patients, we've seen that there's no improvement in their actual status with the disease and those kinds of things. And also, we talked a little bit about paranoia before, mm-hmm. and long-term use can also bring about psychosis.
So we're saying that whatever, right now, let's concentrate on the negatives. There is a possibility of new kinds of cancer from excess use of and of course, psychosis.
Yes.
That's a fact.
What we're finding in the research is that one type of cancer, for sure, is testicular cancer, obviously, that you can get from heavy marijuana use. Also, you have to think of marijuana also mostly like you would think about tobacco.
Yes.
Lots of carcinogens. You're inhaling deeply. You're keeping that smoke in your lungs a long time. Long-term use, you would have to think, mm-hmm. is going to create mm-hmm. lung and heart problems.
This is a guess, Tom, but am I guessing correctly that one of the reasons why all the ones you mentioned that are some kind of a positive, not a cure, but a positive, is because the drug does tend to relax us?
That is not really well known why.
We don't know
the
yet.
Drug, mm-hmm. The drug may help in some cases and doesn't help in others. One of the things that has to be done, Jerry, if we're really going to look at marijuana and its benefits, is we're going to have to start standardizing the dosage.
Yes.
And also standardizing the substance itself. Right now, it's made up of different substances. It's not certified by the FDA. There's no perfect marijuana package. Mm-hmm. So what you may be ingesting could be different for different research projects, too. So one of the things that needs to be done is a whole standardization, mm-hmm. so that we can find out what works for what patients, under what circumstances, what dosage, what frequency, etc.
If America is beginning to get higher and higher on marijuana, we hope this has brought some perspective today to the issue itself and to the decisions we're going to have to make. Thanks to our guest, Dr. Tom DeLow, retired health researcher with the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Jerry Christensen. Thanks for listening. Have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.